for 355-3478. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required, so call right now and see if you qualify. 800-355-3478. 800-355-3478. 800-355-3478.
This is the Quality News Network. At the White House today, President Bush announced that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has resigned. He will be replaced by former CIA Director Robert Gates, who served in the president's father's administration from 1991 to 1993. Just last week, as he was campaigning, President Bush said Rumsfeld would stay at the Pentagon through the end of his term. Gates' nomination needs Senate confirmation. At the news conference earlier today, the president said he spoke with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who will likely become the next House Speaker because of the Democratic victory last night. Mr. Bush also said he took responsibility for his party's losses. The Democrats picked up 33 seats in the House of Representatives to win the majority and end 12 years of Republican control. Nancy Pelosi, who is set to become the first female Speaker in U.S. history, said she also welcomed Rumsfeld's resignation as a signal of a new approach on the Iraq War. In the Senate, the Democrats picked up 5 of the 6 seats needed to take control. They now have 50 seats. In the close Montana race, Democrat John Tester is the winner over incumbent Republican Conrad Burns. However, Burns has not conceded. The last Senate seat that has not been decided yet is in Virginia. The race between Republican incumbent George Allen and Democratic challenger Jim Webb is still too close to call. However, Webb holds a slight lead. If Webb's margin of 8,000 votes holds, the Democrats will have 51 seats in the Senate. In Connecticut, Joe Lieberman won election as an independent after defeating Democrat Ned Lamont, who defeated him in the Democratic primary in August. Lieberman has said he will caucus with the Democrats. In other non-election news, in Gaza, at least 18 Palestinians were killed in Israeli army attacks on a residential neighborhood. 8 of the dead were children who were killed in their sleep. The Israeli defense minister said the strikes were ordered as a way to halt the ongoing artillery attacks in Gaza. As a result of the deadly Israeli strike, Hamas's military wing called on Muslims around the world to attack American targets as a way to, quote, teach the American enemy tough lessons, end quote. In Baghdad today, 2 mortar rounds killed 8 people on a soccer field in a Shiite district. Nationwide, more than 60 people were killed in violent attacks. The U.S. military reported 2 more U.S. troops were killed in Iraq today. There have been 23 troops killed so far this month. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Kielheiser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why I got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both.
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
At the United Nations Conference on Climate Change today, a Nobel Peace Prize winner from Kenya called on people around the world to plant 1 billion trees over the next year. She said it's a way ordinary people can help the environment and combat global warming. In October, China's trade surplus hit a record high of nearly $24 billion. According to Chinese government officials, that was up 27% from the previous record high in August of nearly $19 billion. A bid to buy the Tribune Company company has been submitted by two Southern California billionaire businessmen. The Chicago-based company owns the Los Angeles Times, Chicago Times, Chicago Cubs, and other media properties. The editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer is stepping down at the end of the year as Pennsylvania's largest newspaper continues to face falling circulation and ad revenue. The parent company of Airbus is reporting a $250 million third quarter loss, largely due to continuing delays in the production of the Airbus Super Jumbo A380 jet. And Federated Department Stores reporting third quarter loss of $3 million. Federated owns Macy's and Bloomingdale's and recently acquired May Department Store chain. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $59.93 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was up 20 points at 12,177, the NASDAQ up 9, the S&P 500 up 3. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, right. 11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11. This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
right.
11,
and most of
11, and
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. And now, your host, the ranting, headbanging hippie, John Fox.
Welcome aboard, everybody. John Fox down here in Sydney coming at you the day after the big day. Everybody feeling pretty good out there? The computer jiggery-poo couldn't even get in the way? I'm still kind of buzzed from the events of the election. I don't know about you, but, things have just... There seems to be a ray of sunshine this morning that wasn't out there, even coming through the cloud cover here in Sydney, Australia today. As usual, folks, please get in on the program by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And I don't really know how much green stuff we're going to get into today because, I kind of stayed up a little bit last night after going off air with Bob and Bruce and Man, we had everybody ringing in, Joe Vecchio, Mark Levine, and I guess Mark's busy dealing with the Virginia recount, which, I mean, talk about down to the wire. I mean, it's almost as though someone wrote a script, but I'm not going to say that. Or did I just say that? And then I get up this morning here, you know, because it's kind of early here in Sydney, to find out that we have our first scalping. Rummy has resigned, which I just, that made me do a very, very happy dance before I had my first coffee this morning. And it takes a lot to get me to dance in the morning. And I, you know, just couldn't have happened to a better guy. You know, Rummy's just been a bumbling, just truly evil and arrogant fool. And I just couldn't be happier that he's decided to step down. Will the Democrats be able to change anything? I don't know, but I'm kind of getting the impression that we might. And although Nancy Pelosi pulled back on the impeachment talk leading up to the election, I have a feeling, and I have nothing to base this on, other than maybe playing some smart politics, that impeachment will come back onto the table, but after we have some hearings. You know, I get the impression that leading up to the election, some of the Democrats, including Pelosi, were becoming wary that the impeachment talk could have been turned into sound bites for the Republicans. And maybe they'd pulled back on the talk just to get in. And once we have hearings and we start airing some of this dirty laundry, let the people demand the impeachment hearings. And then it's a great way to save face. Nancy Pelosi can say, well, I pulled it off the table trying to be nonpartisan, but the people have spoken and the hearings have spoken. And so, you know, here's hoping. And I actually decided, you know, last night in our marathon coverage of the election, which was just so much fun, and it was great to hear from our listeners who are actually on the ground, you know, either watching polls or, you know, had been on the phone banks or, you know, whatever it was, or, you know, our own Mark Levine, who is going to be directly involved in the recount. You know, I was feeling kind of like the John Madden of the horn yesterday. I'll just kind of hang back and say something stupid and funny once in a while. Partially because since I'm not there, I didn't have all these individual races kind of as well understood as I would have liked. But I did get a crash course, and I was doing some hunting around for things to talk about today, and I didn't realize that John Tester is an organic farmer. That's right, he's an organic farmer. Okay, now the guy that just won the Senate seat in Montana could possibly be a really, really good little seed for better farming practice. And I've been having a little bit of a scan. I first found this at treehugger.com. I had no idea. I had no idea that this guy was an organic farmer. To be an organic farmer is not just something that you can go out and, you know, buy a label like, you know, 100% U.S. beef. It's not a trademark. There are practices that you must partake in. There are things that you cannot do. And it takes a lot of work. So, you know, this is not something that someone would have done just to, you know, win an election or make some points. I wish they would. but anyway, we'll get back a little bit and talk about John Tester's organic farm here. But we're coming up on our first break here on Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. So please, if you want to get in on the program, talk about the election, talk about green initiatives that you'd like to see go forward, dial in to 1-877-443-2366, or you can email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. We'll get back. I'm going to mention a couple of things. I've got a press release from the UN Conference on Climate Change and some other things to talk about. So we'll see you straight after this. And this is Mr. Alex Lloyd, right here from Sydney. See you after this.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at
the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
To me, then you see, yeah.
right, everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And that was Mr. Mark Lazotte, also known by his band's name as Diesel here in Australia. And I swear, he is Australia's greatest walking bluesman. He's just something else. And that's a bit of a live track from a live CD that he did last year, and he's got a brand new album out called Coat Hanger Antenna, which you can find online. You cannot go wrong by catching up with Mr. Mark Lazotte, and I've had the pleasure of getting to know him over the last few years on and off with a few gigs. And not only is he a brilliant musician and singer, he's a damn nice guy. Bloody nice guy. But anyway, I had just been sent something from our news ninja, and Bob would be interested in this, because this kind of falls into some of the things that we've talked about is, you know, when we talk about third-party candidates and the Greens should be part of the Democrats and all these kind of things. And this is from a blog by a gentleman by the name of Shea Gunther, and that's SHEAGUNTHER.org. And he says, come discuss the Green Party versus the Democrats. Right now, Green isn't an issue on the national level because of two things, money and votes. There isn't enough money flowing into the DNC from targeted Green channels. Where are the Green Democratic pioneers? Where are the $1,000 a plate fundraising dinners for Democratic Senate candidates? Till money comes into the DNC in vast, copious amounts from the Green lobby on level with the Teamsters and the prison guards unions and the old people and the weapons makers, our voice will only be heard through the activists. I love the activist voice, but for true effective change, we're going to need to use every weapon we have. We have to play the game, and it's laid out in front of us. Bring a lot of money to the table, and we get to talk. And votes, and this is simple, he says, we've got to give up on the idea of a national third-party candidate. Bob Kincaid, are you listening? The Green Party has got to get back to the Democratic fold for presidential and congressional races. Focus on taking over state legislatures and build your base. Stop being spoilers and the tool of the Republicans. Retire Nader and get with the program. And he wraps it up with saying, be patient. He says, imagine how handicapped the Republicans would be if the evangelicals got all pissy and started their own Right Plus party and took their votes from them. Right now, the Greens are not a party I can vote for, even if I agree 100% that they are fielding the best candidate. Most Green candidates are not viable options, and when I cast my vote for one, taking away from the better of the two people who can actually win the race, I'm wasting my vote. And this is, I think this is very well stated. You know, and he says, and notwithstanding Al Gore, the Democrats are not going to make Green a big part of their platform unless they get something into it. You know, and I agree with this. And Bob and I were talking about this issue last night, and where, you know, we have this thing where the Greens end up being the spoilers. And I was trying to play devil's advocate a bit and explain why I think some of these people do it. But it is being short-sighted to be so idealistic that you end up effectively throwing your vote away. And so I think that we do need to get the Democrats with the program. Okay? On a national level, the Greens are a waste of time as far as running candidates. And I'm not trying to be nasty or ugly. It's just the reality of the situation. And, you know, I never see the Republicans getting on board except by fear of shotgun onto a Green platform. But the Democrats can. And for me, aside from the fact that environmental issues are still primarily ignored and swept under the rug up until now, hello United States, get with the program, I am a Democrat. the Democrats are my party. I have to admit, I'm a registered independent. But the reason that that is primarily because I saw the Democratic Party not standing up for the rest of us in election debacles and all kinds of other things. So I felt as a protest I would register as an independent, and as soon as the Democrats pull their head out of their bums, I will re-register as a Democrat. But the one thing that I like about being registered independent, like in California in the primaries, I get to vote in both primaries. So there are some benefits, depending on your state, to be registered independent. You know, I can do what the Republicans do in some states and vote for the weaker of the Republican candidates in the primary that I really don't care about. So, I mean, who can play at that game? So, before we go to the half-hour break, we've got our environmental track of the day. Now, we've had a minor bit of trouble actually identifying exactly who this performer is. But the track we're going to play today is, we believe, called Keeper of the Mountain. And it's off of an album called Moving Mountains, The Music of Appalachia, which is the Coal River Mountain Watch people, a CD that they released. And they released a few of some beautiful Appalachian music to help raise money in the support for their fight to stop mountaintop removal and the destruction of homes and some other things. And Bob sent me a few tracks the other day, Company Town, which you've heard on Head On, and a few other things. But this bit of a cappella just bliss, it's beautiful. It's angry. It's funny. It's raw. Ah, and we have an update. Tanya Adkins is the artist. Thank you, Agnes. And like I said, you can actually find this CD at fallingmountain.com, and they've got some other music there. So if mountaintop removal is something that concerns you, well, you can go and get yourself some music and help the cause all at the same time. So please cruise by that website. But I just think we should go straight to the Agnes. Coming here is Keeper of the Mountain from Moving Mountains, The Music of Appalachia, and we'll see you after the break.
In southern West Virginia, the place something evil going on. They're tearing up our mountains. They're taking away our hills. They're taking all our homeland and making valley fields. When will they stop this destruction? Oh, when will they ever leave? Just go back to where they came from. Let us live in our mountains and be free. We're the keepers of the mountains. Love 'em, leave 'em, but I warn you, don't destroy them or leave them for dead. 'Cause we'll hunt you down like outlaws. We'll expose you for what you are. Greedy, thieving murderers who buy and sell our law-making liars. Now the moral of my story, you just listen to what I say. We'll protect our homes, our mountains. You do the same, or you better stay away.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at
the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here for a day after the election edition here on the Head On Radio Network. Please feel free to call in 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And that last track was another kind of audio, not kind of, but an Aussie legend, a guy by the name of Richard Clapton. And guys had always one of the best bands on the road. I had the pleasure of touring with them for about a year, and just an awesome, awesome, awesome songwriter. Kind of Springsteen-esque with the lyrics, kind of how, you know, there's certain Springsteen songs where if you close your eyes, you can see the boardwalk. You know, he just paints lyrical pictures, and Richard does the same thing, and hey, Ralph, how you doing? So anyway, where was I going? And How was that Tanya Adkins track? Is that just the coolest thing? Gonna hunt you down. Gotta love it. Anyway, now, the, oh, where am I going? I'm going somewhere. There it is. Now, the Nairobi United Nations Climate Change Conference opened a couple of days ago, and they're just kind of getting into their program for the week. So there's not all that much information that's come out as of yet. But I have here the press release from the 6th of November when they launched this thing. And they say the conference opens with a warning that climate change may be the most serious threat ever to face mankind. Here goes John with the doomsday stuff again. But see, this is the point. I have to go overboard on this little hour because y'all just don't get this stuff. Ah, well, we'll hold on with that because at the moment on the telephone, we have Dave from Humboldt County. How you going, Dave?
Hey, really great. Dave from up here in Northern California.
I lived in Chico for a while. I love it up there.
Oh, really? Well, you knew some summers then. Yeah, sometimes. I fly little planes, and it gets so hot there sometimes you had to really struggle to get it off the ground with any load at all.
I'm not surprised, and the way, especially up in the Chico area, the way that it kind of is in that mountain valley, the summers are almost like rainforest type weather conditions. But what can we do for you today,
sir? Well, I was inspired by your conversation about the Greens and that they prove really a detriment because we are a two-party system here, and so often I have found the Green candidate is by far the best candidate, and often I think we've got a Democrat that isn't going to be an awful lot better, but it isn't an option, really. I'm thought, how could it ever happen that we might get somebody? Because, you know, I know David Cobb, and I think the world of him.
Yeah.
He lives right here a few blocks from me. We go to a lot of things together. But I thought if a really pretty decent Democrat got himself nominated to be the Democratic president and said and meant, you know, I would like to do what is in the best interest of this country. I've made a decision to support the Green candidate, and I call upon all of you to do the same in the interest of the country. But I don't think that would ever happen. I don't think the party would go crazy if that happened.
I'd love for the Greens to be a national force. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I really would, and show the other two up. But because of what I consider a flaw in the Jeffersonian system, it is a two-party system. So until there are other fundamental changes, we have to work within the system that we're in. And I do think that maybe more of the Greens need to become more of a policy writing and lobbying body, possibly, and try and move the Democrats into a much more green platform. Do you think that that's more the way that they should be looking? Because I agree with you with Cobb. I think he's a great guy. And, you know, if we could get someone like him, or like, you know, someone more green-minded to actually become the Democratic candidate. And the last chance that we had at that was Al Gore. And, well, that was stolen.
Indeed, stolen is the word there. You know, I know that David Cobb may get his message out to say, to vote for the Green is to give a message to the other parties, but where it's going to be tight, where you think there's a chance that your Democrat can lose by voting Green, don't vote for us. You know, he went into it knowing it's a two-party system, that they're there trying to give a message and to motivate the Democrats to be a little more, progressive, I guess. And, so he was pretty clear. If you lived in an area that was in question, don't vote Green.
Well, kudos to him. I mean, you know, it's a very, very tough kind of situation, and that's a really good realistic stance to take. You know, send a message where it's safe, and do the right thing where we need to do the right thing. However, I think we're at a point now in the game where we have to take such drastic action and really quickly. Do you see any way that the Greens can maybe readjust the way that they do things to get more influence?
Well, they've got themselves elected to state offices, assembly districts, and I think even state senate. Like we had in Oakland, the state assemblyman was a Democrat and probably the most corrupt assemblyman in the state of California. And he was running against a total right-wing wacko, and most people that went in to vote knew the two, and it was a matter of hold your nose and pull the lever, but then there was this green option there. So surprisingly, a very high percentage of people voted for the green, and she became assembly member from Oakland, California. They can have influence, I think, in those kind of cases where you've got two really bad candidates running and the people know it. And
Well, and I think the spoiler thing doesn't play quite the same in state races, and local council things, where probably the Greens as a party can do really, really well for one and not end up being frowned on as the spoiler for the Democrats in a presidential race per se.
Unfortunately,
Say again?
I'm fortunate to live in an area where we have as many or more Greens as we have Republicans, so often we'll end
See,
up...
That, that's fantastic. That, to me, that's just fantastic. And, here in Australia, we have a couple of Green MPs and whatnot, and it's because of the fact that we have a preferential voting system, which is the inherent flaw that I see in the Jeffersonian system to allow third parties to become viable on a national level, where you got a couple of green senators actually into a couple of green congressmen, and just to say if we had preferences in the states, and the Democrats were short one for a majority, well, then they'd have to create a coalition with the Greens or the Independents in which to be able to take the balance of power, which would then mean that these small parties would have a seat at the table, at the bigger table. And I think that's something that we have to find quickly, is a way to have a real seat at the table.
I wish they could be included more in the debate, because when that happens, I think the Democrats are forced to answer it. If the Green candidate will say, we are for getting out of this immoral, illegal war. We are for honest government. We are putting the Democrat in the spot of either ignoring it or responding to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I can't even tell you how happy I was to find out that John Tester's an organic farmer. Now, here's a guy that probably could have run as a Green if he had wanted to, but that wouldn't have been a smart move. He's hopefully going to be one to maybe bring the Green platform to the Senate. I just think it's a great thing.
That is great. To me, it is so disappointing that the Democrats, most of them here, so much do not want to be labeled in a negative way by the right-wing wacko radio that they compromise so deeply.
It's ridiculous because, it is the key issue facing everybody, and it's that fear of being labeled anti-business by saying that you're green, and that's not actually true. And I'm hoping that we're going to be able to dispel that argument more and more, because it's going to be those that take the initiatives to jump on new technology to lessen the impact of farming, of energy generation. All these things are going to be ending up the ones making the future bucks.
Well, their fear, I think, that they get labeled things like weak on defense if they oppose the war. They get labeled as conspiracy theorists if they look at the reality of some of the crimes that this administration has obviously been involved in. They don't want...
Go ahead.
They don't want to risk those labels being put on them, so they don't deal with reality that needs to be addressed. I mean, it is a reality to me is that this White House crew should be not only impeached, they should be prosecuted. I think they're guilty of any number of capital offenses. I'm not a favor of capital punishment, but I do think that they should be doing some serious prison time for the amount of harm that they have inflicted on this country and other parts of the world for their own personal gain.
I couldn't agree more. And with that, I'm going to have to bring this one to an end because we're up on a break. David, thanks so much for ringing in. And, you know, keep in touch and let us know good things that are coming out of your area, because I know that that is a progressively green area of the country. I remember Chico fondly. Yeah, and I just remember Chico having an absolute protective atmosphere about Bidwell Park. And that has stayed with me for ages. So thanks so much, David, for being on the program.
I love your whole Horn Network.
Thank you, mate. Thank you, mate. We love you too, and thank you for spending your time with us. Right. So with that, we're gonna head out to this last break before we wrap up Foxed Up for a Wednesday afternoon, early evening, and we'll see you right after this.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. This is a story about two U.S. soldiers at Abu Ghraib. The first, Alyssa Peterson, died on September 15, 2003. Alyssa Peterson was a whiz at foreign languages, and she quickly mastered Arabic shortly after enlisting. Impressed with that skill, the Pentagon sent Alyssa Peterson to Abu Ghraib to do interrogations. She was horrified by what she saw. This, according to reporter Kevin Elston of Flagstaff Public Radio, KNAU, who obtained FOIA documents about her. Peterson objected to the interrogation techniques used on prisoners, Elston said. She refused to participate after only two nights working in the unit known as the cage. She was reassigned on the base, but the torture she witnessed was too much for her. On the night of September 15, 2003, Alyssa Peterson used her rifle to take her own life. Sergeant Santos Cardona also was at Abu Ghraib. He served there in 2003 and in 2004. In fact, he was a dog handler, a convicted dog handler. In May, a military court found him guilty of aggravated assault and dereliction of duty. He was fined and given 90 days hard labor. Now, according to Time magazine, Sergeant Cardona has headed back to Iraq. His assignment? To train the Iraqi police. Now, that's really messed up. I'm Matt Rothschild. And that's how I see it.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway Insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
Now I feel like I can do everything. Yeah.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up. Sorry about that before. A bit of, technical jiggery-poo decided to spill its guts. But it's all sorted because the wondrous Agnes, producer extraordinaire, and Bob running into the room, got it all happening and fixed within a commercial break. It's all wonderful. So we're going to go straight back to the phones because we have David in Tennessee on the line. Welcome to the program, David.
Well, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Great to hear from you, buddy. How you feeling today?
I'm quite well. The sun's out and the election's looking pretty spiffy, and I thought I would end up on the Bob show, but you know, a horn spot is a horn spot.
Well, so honored to have you ring in. What's ringing your bell today?
I tell you what, I'm going to do something that I know all of you folks are too self-effacing and too nice to do. I want everybody listening to understand that folks like the horn, folks like you, folks like Bob, folks like everybody on the network that you're part of helped make it possible for Mr. Bush to get thumped. And by God, you know, I loved it when he said that, because even though he didn't mean it, even though he's not really a Texan, you know, I'm sorry, he's all ranch and no cattle.
No kidding.
It's dadgummit, it sure felt good to hear him admit that he had a body part of his in his watch pocket. So I'm very happy to hear him admit it, and folks like you had a lot to do with it.
Well, thank you. We're just kind of like an outlet for the rest of you, is kind of what I'm, you know, giving a voice to real progressives out there. And I'll tell you, last night was just a wild experience to kind of ride the whole thing out with all the listeners and with Bob and Bruce and everybody else who rang in. For the first time, I really felt like I was a part of what was going on as opposed to a spectator. So, I mean, you know, I so appreciate the kudos to us and the network, but it's because of the simple fact that you folks spend your time with us. You know, we wouldn't be here otherwise. You know, we wouldn't be doing this. And you know, if we played a small part into the thumping of these twits again, I'm just a happy camper. I can't even tell you. And just bring on Virginia, and it's going to be an interesting next couple of years.
Oh, indeed, and it really is important. And yes, as the role model of my life in small ways, the Rolling Stones once sang, "Come on down, sweet Virginia."
I love it. I think we're going to need to throw that one into the horn playlist, I reckon.
It wouldn't hurt my feelings. You know, old guys love memories that make them forget about what's going on for a few years. But you do what you do. We feel what we feel. We want a place to see it amplified. And you guys are Bob, Birch, all of it. It's a perfect mirror for what we think we might be by ourselves in thinking and believing and wanting and hoping for and wishing for, and sure is nice to see it work out now and then.
Well, yeah, maybe we're finally, you know, to use a bad Bush cliche, finally, you know, turning the corner.
Oh, exactly. There's gracious, you know, there's plenty of work to do, and it's all in front of us, but at least we've got a chance now. We're at the plate.
Absolutely, David, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut you short because I got to do credits and get out of here, but man, it's so good to hear from you. Ring in a little earlier next time, because I love chatting with you, and I haven't had a good chat with you since Fourth Estate, so please don't be a stranger.
Well, you're very gracious, and of course I'll participate whenever I can.
Right on, mate. You have a great night, and keep just bask in the sunshine of the victory of last night. I just think it's a big step in the right direction. And thanks for ringing in, mate.
You bet. Cheers.
All right. Take care. All right, kids. I'm up against the gun, I believe, here. Probably got less than a minute to go. So as usual, we must always thank the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters, They make everything here happen on the horn. Thank you to Agnes for producing. Thank you, Peter, for your computer work. Thank you, Scott Berry, for the music library and B1 Ladder Productions. And this is John Fox. Bob Kincaid coming up next, and the mighty Bruce Birch to wrap up the evening after that. We'll see you tomorrow.
Where Tokyo is going to come from. This one we learned from a young lady who had spent a lot of time traveling with various groups, bands.
Yeah, well, she was doing a lot of other things, too.
Enough of that, please, Al. This is a family crowd.
Are we sure of that?
An extended family crowd, yeah.
It's extended all the time.
We learned this little ditty from her, and we hope you enjoy it.
And if you know it, sing along.
Yes, I'd love to have you join us.
Policy in Iraq is not working fast enough or well enough, and that he and Rumsfeld agreed that a new perspective is needed. 12 years of Republican control of the House have ended after the Democrats picked up 33 seats. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who's almost certain to become the next House Speaker, was conciliatory in a speech today as she spoke of a new direction for all Americans. Current House Speaker Dennis Hastert told Republican lawmakers today that he does not intend to run for Minority Leader in January. Mr. Bush said today that he spoke with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who said she welcomed Rumsfeld's resignation as a signal of a new approach on the Iraq war. The last Senate seat that has not been decided yet is in Virginia. The race between Republican incumbent George Allen and Democratic challenger Jim Webb is still too close to call. However, Webb does hold a slight lead, and if it holds, the Democrats will have 51 seats in the Senate. In non-election news, at least 18 Palestinians were killed in Israeli strikes on a residential neighborhood in Gaza today. 8 of the dead were children who were killed in their sleep. About 60 people, including 26 children, were reportedly wounded. Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh has suspended talks on forming a unity government.